It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, continuing series, we'll pick up on a new story on yours truly, Johnny Dollar, continue the series One Man's Family, and right now, Adventures by Morse, with part 6 of 10 of The Cobra King Strikes Back, a syndicated episode from May 26th, 1946.
Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The Cobra King Strikes Back, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
There is a killer loose in the jungle of Cambodia in the north of Indochina. A killer named Fen Lo, who was once the prisoner of Captain Bart Friday. Besides dealing in death, he is hand in glove with certain Cambodian priests in an attempt to bring about an uprising of the native Khmer people to throw off French rule and rediscover and re-inhabit the jungle cities of the ancient Khmer civilization, now gone to ruin these many centuries. But let Captain Friday tell it.
There's a Cambodian legend that a famous emerald cobra idol disappeared with the fall of the Khmer nation, and that the nation will be restored when the precious snake statue returns. And now there's rumor that it's been found. Well, I'm in Cambodia for the double reason of recapturing the murderer, Fen Lo, and to quell the native uprising by capturing or destroying the emerald cobra should it actually reappear. And now, Professor LeBrun, tell them about Dr. Carter.
Dr. Carter, famed archaeologist, who was aiding our expedition into the jungles, has completely disappeared. He has left his party under the care of Captain Friday and myself. Also in the party are Dr. Carter's daughter, Celia, Patricia Young, who is Captain Friday's secretary, Perry Mills, assistant archaeologist, and Skip Turner. At Angkor Thom, we were kidnapped and we were taken into the jungle aboard an elephant and camel caravan. We were abandoned in an ancient jungle temple, and we were then picked up by a second caravan made up of wild mountain ponies under the guidance of fierce Cambodians of the backcountry. At the moment, we are each of us strapped onto a shaggy, vicious-looking little pony. We have been traveling through rugged, exotic jungle country all day. Our pack of dogs seem to have smelled another mouse.
Dolly, Professor LeBrun, I never thought riding horses was like this.
It's only like this when you're not used to it. We ought to be thankful that we're kept in a group so that we can talk to each other anyway.
Listen to Pollyanna Perry Mills.
Oh, I know it's tough on you girls, with your feet tied to the stirrups and your hands tied behind you. Just the same, it'd be 10 times worse if we'd been separated.
Skip Turner's gone to sleep on his pony. Look, he's all slumped over.
Not by a jug full. I ain't. Not that I ain't been trying to. Captain Friday's been trying to get some shut-eye, too.
No, I've just been thinking. We've been climbing this tortuous mountain path for a good 3 hours now. I don't understand where they're taking us. We're practically out of the jungle country. It's getting more rugged.
Yeah, rugged is right.
Notice we've left the banyan and frominger trees and the bamboo grows behind. There's hardly any elephant grass this high up.
Oh, that's true, Captain. We're coming to more and more places where we have to travel single file around precipices and through gullies.
Yeah, and I ain't seen any of them big monkeys that Perry showed us for a couple hours.
Now, you mean the gibbons. All the wild animal life is thinning out.
What's the matter, Patricia? I wonder if I look as funny as you do, Celia, with your hair flying and streaks of dirt all over your face like war paint.
Well, I don't think either of us bring a very high price at the slave market just now.
Well, no man ever saw me like this before.
This horse I'm tied on doesn't stop this jogging and stumbling and lurching pretty soon. I'm going to scream. I've bitten my tongue 3 times.
Oh, it can't last much longer. See, the sun's already throwing long shadows down into the valleys. They've got to stop for the night very soon.
Did I hear someone say something about stopping?
Yes, they'll have to make camp before it goes dark.
You know, I think they've got some objective in view. You notice how the whole caravan has increased its pace?
Look at poor Skip, tagging down in his saddle as though he were dead.
I admire that chap more than ever before. The rest of us have at least had a little experience on horseback. But he must be in a terrible agony. Yet, there hasn't been one word of complaint from him.
I'm just tired. That's all that's the matter with me. Good night's sleep, and I'll be as good as ever.
Oh, it's different with Skip. He'll be incapacitated for a whole week. He'll never be able to carry on tomorrow.
Well, listen, you folks hear that?
Sounds like a waterfall.
Hear that, Patricia?
Oh, it is. It is. Do you smell how fresh the air is? We're coming to water.
Hi-ya! Hi-ya! Hi-ya!
Hey, look! Hi-ya! The horses up ahead are galloping.
I wish they wouldn't. I can't bear galloping. Hi-ya!
Yes, we'll have to do the best we can, Celia. The guards are whipping up their horses.
Oh, gee!
Hey, for the love of Mike, what's going on?
Come on, Skip.
We must be almost there. Hi-ya!
Done this to me.
Hey, they're going to take us off our horses.
I wish they'd hurry. I wish they'd hurry. I wish they'd hurry.
What are you saying, Celia?
That galloping did something to me. I'm going to be sick.
You girls, be careful when they lift you down, huh? You probably wouldn't be not able to stand. Now, here they come now. Don't let them put you on your feet.
Oh, hurry, hurry. I can't stand it any longer. I can't.
There. There, Celia. They're unfastening your legs now.
I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Oh, poor child. It's the natural reaction after holding out for so long.
There, there. She's off.
Good. Well, they had the sense to lay on the grass.
Well, thank heavens I'm next.
Hello, hello. Something's going on over yonder.
Hey, what's happened to Skip?
What's the matter with Skip?
He went into a faint when they took it from his horse.
Well, that was rather to be expected. He'll be all right, though. He has stamina.
Oh.
Are you all right, Patricia?
I feel so absolutely dead from my waist down.
Well, the circulation has been partly cut off in your lower limbs. Now move them about. Grab them.
Yes,
that will bring back this to life. Now, Celia, you had better do the same.
I'm sorry. I was such a baby. I kind of lost control of myself for a minute.
Oh, it was the most natural thing in the world. Oh, I guess I'm next. Get the thongs off, you men. Well, here I come.
Oh, Professor, you fell. Did you hurt yourself?
Oh, nothing but my dignity. That's what I get for being so cocky. I warned you to let them lift you to the grass, and then I turned right around and tried to get off by myself and landed in a leap.
I thought sure that pony was going to kick you. You fell right under its feet.
Yeah, let's see what we can do about getting a little circulation started around here.
See, my legs are beginning to throb and then tingle.
Circulation is returning. Captain Friday.
Yes?
Having trouble making your limbs work?
Oh, plenty.
Well, massage them and move them with your hands. Has Skip come around?
Yes, she's all right.
Don't wander away, Patricia.
Oh, with dark coming on, I should say not. Oh, I wish they get a fire going. Why, look. All the horses are gone.
Gone? Why? So they have. This country seems to be the native haunts for all sorts of vanishing tricks.
But they were here just a moment ago. They must be somewhere.
Quite probably they are. Hello, hello. What do these particularly vicious-looking fellows want? I've never seen them before.
Go away. Go away. Don't touch me.
Oh, it's all right, Steve. It's all right. Don't be frightened. Now, look. One of them is carrying Skip, and another one has Perry. They're going to carry all of us. Phew! What gigantic fellows. Look how that native handles Captain Friday. As though he was a child.
You think it's all right?
I don't think we have much choice in the matter.
There goes Celia. Oh, I hope he doesn't drop her.
He's big enough to carry three of her. Here's your man, Patricia.
Well, the Market Street Railway never was like this. Here I go.
Hello? So you're my pack horse. All right. Let's go.
Hey, look, there's the waterfall. See it around the precipice? Oh, how gorgeous.
What's the matter with Celia? Can you see her?
Yes, she's up ahead. Oh, she's struggling and fighting with the carrier in her arms.
I wonder what it is. Celia, what's the trouble?
They're going to drown us!
What is she saying?
She says they're going to drown us. She must have seen something up ahead.
Oh, nonsense. They wouldn't bring us all this way just to drown us.
Look! Oh, look! They're carrying us straight into the water!
No! They're going to drown me!
Wait, Scott, what on earth are they doing?
Oh, she's being drowned! She's being drowned! Look!
Look, she's gone.
Oh, use your head, Patricia.
Oh, she's gone.
The carrier has disappeared, too. Oh. He might possibly drown Celia, but it isn't likely he drowned himself. And the same goes for Captain Friday and Perry and Skip. They've all disappeared, too.
Well, then what has happened? I saw Celia disappear in the water with my own eyes.
Wait, wait and see. There's some sort of a natural phenomena here. An optical illusion. Look, our carriers are going down into the water, too.
Oh.
Looks cold and sullen, doesn't it? The roar of the falls is getting too loud. We won't be able to talk much more. Safe and sound. I'll bet you never had this experience before.
Oh, and I don't ever want to again. We went right through that waterfall. Oh, I'm so glad to be on my feet again.
An amazing adventure. We are in a cavern behind the waterfall. Can you walk?
Yes, yes, I'm all right now. Except I'm plenty scared.
Come on, let's join the others.
Why, hi there, Professor. How was that for a piggyback ride? Whew. Man, if I got something to tell my grandchildren. Right out of nowhere through a waterfall into a great big cave. Whew. Just like a page out of Persian Nights.
I think you mean Arabian Nights.
Yeah, that's what I say. Hey, listen, my voice echoes around like I was a giant. Hello, Captain Friday!
Well, Skip, you seem to have recovered rapidly.
Yeah, I got well quick enough when I thought they was going to douse me in the river out yonder. Hey, what's this all about, anyway?
Oh, this seems to be part of somebody's idea of how to treat prisoners. Come on, let's only confab with Captain Friday while we're waiting for our guards to make the next move.
Gee, when I saw you disappear, Celia, I thought you had gone down in the water. I was terribly frightened.
Well, that's just the way I saw Skip disappear ahead of me. That's when I screamed. I thought they were drowning all of us.
Well, instead of that, they just walked into the water up to their waists with us and then circled around the back of the falls. I didn't even get wet. Did you?
Not the least bit. The native who carried me was a huge fellow. Current was awfully swift. Water was up to his armpits, and yet he lifted me up on his shoulder and carried me along as if I were a baby.
Yeah, they did that with all of us. Hey, why do you suppose they brought us back into this cavern?
I wonder. Oh, it's so dark. Those torches aren't much better than candles.
Oh, hello, Celia. Oh. Recovered from your horseback ride?
Oh, Perry, I thought you men were holding a conference.
No, it's dwindled into a bragging party. Everybody seems to think he had the strongest native carrying him.
Well, let's go over and join him, huh?
Yeah, why not?
Oh.
Why, what's wrong, Celia?
Oh, I guess I'm kind of wobbly yet.
Oh, poor kid. Here, let me carry you.
No, thanks. I've been carried enough today. And might get to be a habit.
Good kid.
Here, Perry, you walk on one side of her and I'll walk on the other. Oh.
Isn't this silly? You're taking this a lot better than I am, Patricia.
Oh, nonsense. It's just that I've always done a lot of horseback riding at home. Besides, being Captain Friday's secretary, I'm used to being pushed around.
Hello, what's this?
Oh, kind of wobbly, that's all, Captain Friday.
Well, you better sit down and take it easy. We've got something more ahead of us.
Hey, ain't we had enough? You mean they ain't through yet?
I was watching the guards. It's got something to do with this cavern. They're making some pretty elaborate arrangements.
Since the leader of this expedition, Dr. Howard Carter, archaeologist and explorer, mysteriously vanished from Saigon, capital of French Indochina, the party has experienced one violence after another. They have been kidnapped and dragged through the Cambodian jungles until they are near exhaustion. Captain Friday and Professor LeBrun, as co-leaders of the party, have done their best to keep up the spirit of the members. But what the group need is the leadership of an old, experienced hand such as Dr. Carter. At the moment, they have been taken from little wild Cambodian ponies to which they have been tied for almost 12 hours, transferred on native shoulders to a cavern behind a great waterfall. The two girls, Patricia and Celia, are lying on a thatch of grass, resting, while the four men, Captain Friday, Professor LeBrun, Skip Turner, and Perry Mills, assistant archaeologist, discuss the situation.
Talk quietly so the girls can't hear us.
Yeah.
We're completely at the mercy of these Cambodians. There must be 20 of them, and they're savage brutes.
An escape would be impossible.
Escape where? We're trapped in this cavern behind the waterfall.
Well, there's no turning back now. We're going on. And what's more, we're going to take the killer Fenlow out with us, dead or alive.
Yeah, and we don't care which.
Oh, Sierre, hadn't we better watch that kind of talk? If guards all about us.
Just the same, Professor LeBrun. If this crew of Cambodian cutthroats thinks it can chase us out of the jungle with all this hocus-pocus, and it's got another guest coming.
Tell me, Captain Friday, do you feel as antagonistic as ever towards Fenlow? Now that you know just what the country is like, could you either destroy or turn over to the French government the precious seven-headed Emerald Cobra? If you should lay hands on it.
I've given my word to do just that.
You gave your word before you had the faintest idea what it was all about. Would you have given your word so readily if you had known?
How is anyone to know what he would have done under a given set of circumstances?
And then you are still out to get Fenlow.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. I'm going to smash up every one of their blasted idols I can get my fingers on. Just to get even with them for dragging me around the country on elephants and wild horses, see?
Fair enough, Skip.
Hey, boss! Here come our guards.
Oh, more monkey business, huh?
Here, take my hand, Celia. Let's stick together this time.
Yes, as long as we're together, it helps.
They're coming with torches. Looks like we're making a trip through this cavern.
So it does.
Hey, that big one over there is motioning to us to follow. Shall we go?
Are you going to keep from it?
I'll go first. Skip, you bring up the rear of our party.
Okay, Chief.
Perry, you keep close to the girls.
I'd like to keep with you, Captain.
Well, let's move.
Have you noticed the guards, Patricia? In this half-dark, all you can see are their teeth and the whites of their eyes. They look like something unearthly. And they're so silent.
What a wonderful imagination, Celia. You know, I'm getting over my nervousness. Nothing terrible seems to be happening to us. I've just got shivers of excitement.
Excitement? Well, the way you've been squeezing my hand, you...
Oh, that's just nervous excitement.
Look at the shadows cast on the wall by the torches. Hey, look at the torches ahead. They're climbing the wall.
Watch your step behind there. Coming to a tremendous cavity. Sheer drop into blackness.
Hey, did you hear that? A sheer drop. And yet there they go. Up the wall with the torches.
Look. Look there. There's a couple of logs thrown across the pit and against the wall on the other side. With crossbars like a crude ladder.
You mean we've got to cross this deep pit on that shaky ladder? Oh, I hate high places.
You'll be all right, Celia. I drop back to give Perry a hand with the girls.
It's like climbing a fireman's ladder.
You don't mind it, Patricia?
Oh, my hair is practically standing on end, but I love it.
All right, Celia, all right. You come along with me. There's room for two on the ladder, side by side. Now, are you ready?
Yes.
Good. Perry, you and Patricia follow right at our heels.
Coming.
Now then, here we go.
Oh, but it's shaky.
Don't worry. It will hold. If you get nervous, let me know and I'll take hold of you.
I'm all right, I guess.
Are you folks coming along, Perry?
Fine. Patricia's in a nervous sweat, but she's climbing like a fireman.
Do you mind hanging on to me for a minute, Professor LeBrun? I feel kind of funny.
Of course not. There. Now, how's that?
There. That's better. I've never been up in the air like this before.
Just 5 or 6 feet now, and we'll be across.
Yes, but look. We've still got to climb some more ladders right up the face of the wall.
Oh, that won't be so bad. Now, shall we go ahead?
Well, I guess the sooner we start, the sooner it'll be over. You don't need to hang on to me now.
Say, this is some climb. Down on your hands and knees. Great sport, huh, Patricia?
Hey, Perry, not so fast. Supposing the ladder should break.
Oh, don't even think of it.
Oh, I'm glad it's dark below us anyway. I couldn't possibly do this if I could see.
Here, keep your mind on your climbing.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Here we are across. Wait until I scramble up on the ledge. There. That puts us across the chasm, anyway.
Oh.
A couple of guards with torches to show us what to do next.
Hey, look. There go more torches way up the side of the wall.
Yes, and there's Captain Friday and Celia and LeBrun climbing along after them.
Oh, I know I can't do that.
Oh, it probably isn't half as steep as it looks.
Yeah, well, it's steep enough. Hey, what do they think we are anyway, a bunch of steeplejacks?
Oh, hello, Skip. Phew. This should give you some new ideas on how to treat prisoners. Look at that precipice.
Yeah? Hey, you don't mean we got to climb that wall.
Hey, look, the guards are waving to us to hurry. We don't want to get too far behind.
We can still climb side by side. See you later, Skip.
Yeah, well, you ain't going to lose me. I'm right on your heels.
Woo!
Talk about your nightmares. This has got them all skinned a mile.
Where in the world do you suppose they're taking us, Perry?
Well, looks like we're on the inside of a hollow mountain. We better stop talking and save our breath for climbing. And don't look down. Just keep your eyes up and climb.
Yeah, and don't fall. On account I'm right below you.
Guess this is the top. That you just behind me, Laverne?
Yes, Captain. We'll see ya. Jolly dark up here. Where are you?
I think we've climbed the last of the ladders. I'm on a sort of ledge. The guards are waiting up ahead.
Reach down and get hold of Celia if you can, Captain Friday.
All right.
She's exhausted.
Yeah, I can imagine after 2 hours of it. This has been terrific. Hey! Hey, one of you fellas bring a torch over here. Come here!
They don't understand you.
Yeah, I suppose not. There. Got a hold of her. Up she comes. There you are.
Don't make me climb any more ladders. I can't.
Don't worry. Looks like it's all over.
I never would have believed such a place existed if I hadn't seen it for myself.
How's my secretary doing?
Oh, Perry's bringing Patricia. Coming, Perry?
Here we are. Patricia's about all in.
Yeah, there they come. I see their outline.
Look at the way they're coming up the ladder. Like firemen.
Here, I'll give them a hand. All right, here she comes.
Oh.
Yeah. There, Patricia, you're safe enough now.
Oh, boss. I'm ready to keel over.
Quite a climb. How are you, Perry?
Oh, okay, I guess.
Hey, somebody get a hold of me, will you? You think I want to hang here on this ladder all night? Give me a hand.
All right, Skip. Here's my hand on it. Up you come.
Oh, thanks.
Whew, after climbing all them ladders, I reckon I'm about qualified for the steeplechase, huh? Hey, why don't we get some light around here? What you laughing at?
A steeplechase is a horse race, Skip.
Oh, yeah? Well, not the kind of steeplechase I'm talking about.
Well, we can't sit here on this 6-foot ledge 1,000 feet up in the air talking about steeplechases the rest of our lives.
Well, I feel like I could lie right here and sleep for a week.
Well, there come the last of the guards.
Yeah, and those up ahead are waving us to follow.
Professor, have you noticed the difference in the looks of things?
What do you mean, Captain?
Well, the rock below and alongside the ladders was rough and rugged, just as nature left it. This rock looks as though it's been hewn and chiseled smooth by human hands.
Well, it was centuries ago if it was.
I don't doubt that.
Hang on to my hand, will you, somebody? The edge looks awfully near.
Well, that's my job, Celia.
Hey, Patricia, how'd you like me to hang on to you?
Oh, I think that would be sweet of you, Skip.
Yeah? Well, that's the first time a babe's ever called me that.
What's that?
Oh, call me sweet.
Oh?
You seem to be following a sort of semi-circular ledge around the inner side of a hollow mountain.
Yes, and we're still climbing. Not so much, though, now. Hello. The natives up ahead with the torches have stopped.
They're waiting for us, I reckon.
Oh, I see. Look there. They're standing in an arched doorway carved out of solid rock.
Looks as though we're entering some kind of an underground building.
There's a bit of civilization for you. You see that iron chain stretched across the passageway?
Hey, they're unfastening it. Evidently, they intend taking us through.
We're getting near the end of our trail. Come along, they want us to follow.
Well, we left the chasm behind anyway.
Now, what kind of a rat's nest is this?
Hello. Look at the passageways leading off in all directions.
Well, looks to me like the same kind of underground passageways we got trapped in that there gorilla temple.
By Joe, Skip, I bet you struck it.
Huh? Struck what?
I believe we are on the lower floor another of those old Khmer temples. Of course that's it.
You think so, LeBron?
I haven't the least doubt, Captain. Look, we're going up some stairs now.
Hmm. What's the matter, Celia? You're awfully quiet.
I'm so tired, I can hardly make my legs move.
Oh, poor kid.
I guess everyone's just as bad as I, but... Oh, I hope they got real beds in this place, not just straw on the floor.
Remember, we're prisoners here, not guests.
Oh, it doesn't make any difference. I'm too tired to care.
Look, what's that funny light at the top of the stairway?
What? You don't recognize that, Patricia?
I know. Do you?
Of course, and so should you. You've seen it often enough.
I don't know what you mean.
Lady, that's the moon.
Why, we're outside again. out in the open night.
On top of the mountain, we climbed from inside.
Evidently.
Yeah, look at there. What a sort of balcony.
Hey, you were right, Professor LeBrun. Look at those inscriptions. There's no doubt about this being an old Khmer temple.
Hey, one of them guards is motioning for us to tag along again.
Oh, isn't there any end to this?
Apparently, they're going to take us inside the monastery.
Well, it won't be long now. Dinner and bed.
Gloomy-looking dungeon.
Built on the same principle as the Goyla Temple and Angkor Wat. Huge, drafty, high-ceiling recesses. Hello? We've evidently reached our destination.
Look at those bronze fixtures on the door. Everything bronze, even to a knocker. Hey, watch. One of the guards is going to use it.
I suppose this here's another prison cell for us.
I can't tell. There she opens.
Look. Look who's in there. It's my father.
Oh. Look out. Catch her. She's fainted.
Well, I'll be doggone. Dr. Carter.
So the same thing has happened to Dr. Carter. He likewise is a prisoner. Listen next week to the 7th episode of The Cobra King Strikes Back, entitled The Face of a Beast. You are listening to Adventures by Morse.
Adventures by Morse, on Tuned to Yesterday, part 6 of 10 of The Cobra King Strikes Back from May 26th, 1946. The announcer of the program, Gayne Whitman, one of the best and most sought after in radio at that time. In the same year of that broadcast, he took on announcing duties for the popular NBC show The Cavalcade of America, the Westinghouse program, even took on an acting role in May of 1946 on the Theater Guild On the Air program, where he played a role in Payment Deferred, taken from the Broadway stage adapted On the Air. This is an hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. We now continue One Man's Family with The Book of Teddy, Book 78, Chapter 22, first heard on NBC on the 3rd of October, 1950.
One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Clifford and Father Barber in the library of the family home.
It's Letterman Hospital. Wanting to know where they can get hold of Teddy, Dad.
Well, this is supposed to be her day off. She's spending it with Elwood in San Rafael.
Yeah, I know. They looked pretty lovey-dovey when they left here this morning. Maybe they'll end up getting married yet.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the Barbers today. Chapter 22, Book 78. Elwood Giddings, the patient and guest at the Barber family home, has recovered enough from his recent illness to be up and about. He and Teddy borrowed Father Barber's car this morning to drive to San Rafael, where Elwood has bought a combination home and dental office. It is evening now, and they still haven't arrived back in San Francisco. Not that Father Barber is worried about that. He is more than pleased that the romance between Teddy and Elwood has been revived. And the longer they are alone together, the better the evidence there is of hope for a marriage. So, after a good dinner, the head of the House of Barber leans back in his chair, content and relaxed, at the dining room table.
Oh, there's the telephone, Clifford.
I'm way ahead of you, Dad. I'm already on my way.
Oh, Clifford.
Yeah?
If it's Elwood, tell him there's no hurry about getting home with the car.
Yeah, okay. Hello? No, she's not in. Well, I don't know, just a second. I'll see if I can find out. Hey, Dan.
Huh?
You know when Teddy will be home?
Teddy on the phone?
No, it's somebody calling for Teddy.
Yes, I'm coming.
Well, I hope. Hello? Sorry to keep you waiting,
Did you say it was Teddy on the phone?
Well, you just hold the line a moment. It's getting a little confused around here. Here, Dad, you take it. It's Letterman Hospital wanting to know how they can get hold of Teddy.
Oh. Hello? Yes, she went to San Rafael and hasn't come home yet. Well, she ought to be here any time now. Huh? I see. Well, you could try calling Dr. Froschauer's office in San Rafael, but I'm sure they must have left there. Froschauer. He's a dentist in San Rafael. Miss Barber went over there with Elwood Giddings, Dr. Giddings. He bought the place from Miss Froschauer. Huh? I'm just trying to explain what... Huh? It isn't complicated to me. All right, I'll have her call you as soon as she comes in. Certainly I have it straight. Head nurse in surgery at Letterman Hospital. Yeah, very well. Goodbye. People ask for information, and when you try to give it to them, they don't want to take the time to listen.
Well, I guess they're busy down there, Dad.
You will expect Teddy to work all the time. Seems to me she gets called back to duty whenever she's supposed to have a day off.
Yeah, it's rugged, all right. I guess nurses get used to that.
Well, she and Elwood have had the day together, at any rate.
Hmm. They looked pretty lovey-dovey when they left here this morning. Maybe they'll end up by getting married yet.
Elwood's illness may have brought Teddy to her senses.
Women are sure funny people. Here Teddy turns the poor guy down cold, and something happens to him, and she's all for him again. Is that the maternal instinct or what? I can't figure it out. He may not have been wise to get out of bed so soon. If he gets too frisky, she might lose interest in him again.
Elwood's not the type to lie around. He wants to get his practice started. He'll make good over there in San Rafael. You mark my word.
Probably will, all right. Town that size just about Elwood's speed.
Why, he'd make good anywhere. He's not afraid to work. There's your answer for that. Yes. I pride myself. I saw through the surface with Elwood from the very beginning and appreciated his true worth. Yes, sir. The rest of the family is fine.
Hi. Oh, hi, Jack.
Yes. How are you, my boy?
You've got a piece of cake there almost as big as you are.
Yeah. Sure is good, too. Just came through the kitchen. Mom gave it to me.
What's the matter? Isn't Betty feeding anymore?
Oh, sure. We haven't been having any desserts lately, though. I don't know what's got into Betty, whether she's trying to diet or what. When I asked her, she clammed up and acted a little hurt. When she gets in that mood, I know the only thing to do is to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, and then come over here and let Mom feed you.
Is that bad?
As a matter of fact, it looks so good, I think I'll go out and get a piece for myself.
You just had your dinner, Clifford.
So did Jack, and I'm figuring he is.
Acts like an adolescent at times. Jack, did you say that Betty was dieting? What kind of nonsense is that?
Oh, she may not be, Dad. Probably just a phase. I don't know. Betty gets funny streaks sometimes.
Hmm? You're not having trouble over there, are you?
No, everything's fine.
Yes. Everything's all right at the office?
Oh, sure. Working me to death, but that's the way to get ahead in a law firm, they tell me. Maybe when I'm 50, Judge Hunter will make me a partner. Be so far in debt by then, it won't do any good. Hey, strike that from the record, Dad. Sounds like I was trying to make a touch, and I'm not, honest.
Well, don't want you to be running short.
No, we're doing fine, really. Of course, when the kids have to go in for all this orthodontia that Elwood told us was forthcoming, I may have to yell for help.
Elwood was telling me that their bites were not good.
Their bite may not be good, but the little rascals sure can eat. Wow, what a grocery bill we have. Maybe that's why Betty's cutting down. Never thought of that.
Hey, Dad, Jack, come on out here.
Huh?
Well, Cliff's all excited about something. What is it, Cliff?
Come on out in the kitchen. Surprise for you. Hurry up now, hurry up.
Huh?
You said there was a surprise in the kitchen. Well, let's go see what it is. You coming, Dad?
Here
it is. Hey, what's all excitement about, Cliff?
Now, wait. Don't go in the kitchen yet. Wait till Dad gets here. Come on, Dad. You're holding up the party.
Yes, I suppose your mother has turned out a batch of lemon tarts or something equally exciting.
Oh, you think so, huh? Now, you stay right there. Is it okay, Mom?
Yes, Clifford.
Very well, gentlemen. You may now enter the kitchen.
Hey, what goes on here anyway?
Tomfoolery.
Now, don't start grumbling, Henry. We've got a surprise for you.
Show it to us and be done with it.
Oh, he thinks we're kidding.
Well, after this build-up, it better be good, is all I can say.
Quiet. Now, will you step out of the breakfast room, please?
Okay.
Huh? Oh, Teddy and Elwood got home.
Some surprise.
Jack, be quiet. Clifford wants to make an announcement.
I feel a little silly, don't you, Elwood?
Yeah, a little silly.
Now, quiet. Now then, Mr. Barber Sr. and Mr. Jack Barber, may I have the honor and the pleasure of introducing you to Mr. and Mrs. Elwood Giddings.
Huh?
What? It's true, Henry.
Yes, Father Barber. Elwood and I were married less than an hour ago over in Marin County.
No. Wonderful. Oh, my dear, I can't tell you how happy I am. Come here. Let me kiss you.
Oh, yes, Father Barber.
My little Teddy, married. I wish you all the happiness in the world, my dear.
Oh, thank you.
And Elwood, come here, my boy. Let me shake your hand.
Well, thank you, Father Barber.
Yes. Welcome to our family, Elwood. Nothing could make me happier than this. I've been hoping for it. In fact, I prayed that it would come about.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Gee, it's wonderful, Teddy.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Cliff was right. You sure had a surprise for us out here, all right. Elwood, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Jack. Thank you.
Elwood's got a smile on his face an inch and a half thick.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy, all right.
Tell us all about it. How did you happen to do it today, and where, and by whom, and all the rest of it?
Well, we...
One at a time, please.
And they're excited, and I don't blame
you. You tell them, Teddy.
Well, there isn't much to tell, really. after we left Dr. Froshauer's place.
Oh, say, that reminds me.
Don't interrupt it.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Daddy.
What were you going to say, Cliff?
Nothing. I'll tell you later. After you left Dr. Froshauer's place, then what?
Well, we were driving along the road, and Elwood saw a Justice of the Peace sign, and he stopped the car and said, let's go in and get married, Teddy. So I said, all right, and well, we did.
I've been carrying our license around ever since we got it, just in case an opportunity like this popped up. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm going to scoot out the back way here and carry the news to Betty. Boy, will her eyes bug out.
Oh, I wish we could wait to see her, Jack, but we just stopped by long enough to get some clothes together. So we'd be leaving pretty quick. Tell her I'll see her soon, though. Give her my love.
You betcha. Well,
that goes for me, too, Jack.
Okay, Elwood. Lots of happiness to you both.
Thank you.
Good night,
Jack.
Good
night.
Well, let's not stay out here in the kitchen. Come on, Teddy. I'll go up with you and get your things together.
Swell, Mother Barber.
Where are you going? Huh? Is it a secret?
No, I don't suppose so. You see, I called
hey,
up...
Hey, just a second. I hate to inject a sour note at this point, but you got a phone call from the hospital, Daddy. They wanted you to call back as soon as you came in. Who was it, Dad, the head nurse in surgery?
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Does she have to bother with that now?
Oh, I'd better, Mother Barber. After all, I'm still in the Army, even if I am married. I'll only be a minute, Elwood.
All right, Teddy.
You don't suppose they're going to ask Teddy to come down to that hospital now, do you?
Gosh, that'd be terrible.
Oh, they must have a heart. They wouldn't ask a gal to give up a honeymoon just to come down and go to work.
Of course, Teddy's specialty is surgery, so if they were calling, it may be something important.
Or maybe they've already got somebody else by this time.
Yes, yeah, we're probably worrying over nothing. Elwood, you started to tell us where you two were going. I still can't quite believe that Elwood and Teddy are married. Eh?
Didn't Teddy look sweet?
Oh, come on now, Mom. You say that to all the brides.
I do no such thing.
Never mind, Fanny. Elwood's trying to tell us about his plans.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elwood. Tell us.
Oh, well, the only thing we really got planned is tonight. I called the Mark Hopkins right after we were married and reserved the bridal suite. So, well, that's where we're going tonight anyway. Gee, I'm so darn excited it wouldn't make any difference to me where we were. But I thought... Oh, did you get the hospital, Teddy?
Yes, Elwood.
Gosh, what is it? You look as if you had bad news.
Oh, I have.
Huh?
Oh, they need me down there desperately. I've got to go, Elwood.
Oh.
I'm terribly sorry, but I have no choice.
Well, didn't they understand that you've just been married?
Well, I didn't tell them, Father Barber.
Huh?
You didn't?
Huh?
What's that?
But I couldn't right then. I will when I get down there. They've just brought in an emergency plane with some badly wounded boys from Korea. They'll need surgery tonight. If I can help them live, I'd never forgive myself that I used my marriage as an excuse not to be there. I hope you understand, Elwood.
Oh, yes, Teddy. You go ahead. I like a good soldier. I'll call the hotel and cancel that bridal suite for tonight.
Here's the family again.
Oh, poor Elwood.
Huh? Poor Elwood?
What good's a marriage if you can't have a honeymoon?
Postponed for one night, that's all.
Yeah, maybe.
Huh?
I lay odds that honeymoon never comes off.
One Man's Family, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 3rd of October, 1950 on NBC. We now wrap this hour of continuing series with a new storyline for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Part 1 of 5 of the Alvin Summers Matter follows next from CBS, first heard on October 24th, 1955.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as...
Johnny Dollar.
Fred Wilkins at Northeastern Fidelity, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Fred.
I got a case for you. Remember the Alvin Summers embezzlement?
Sure, he took off with $75,000 about 6 months ago.
Right. We held a bond on him, so we're stuck with it.
So?
This morning, a guy called from a little town on the west coast of Mexico, Santo Tomas. It was a bad connection, but I gathered he had some information on Summers and wanted somebody to go down there and talk to him. I nominated you.
Then he's expecting me, huh? What's his name?
I don't know.
Well, how do I contact him at Santo Tomas?
I'm afraid I don't know that either.
You mean I'm supposed to go looking for somebody whose name I don't even know? How come he's so coy?
I don't think it's a case of being coy, Johnny. Before we could get very far into the conversation, the connection was broken off at his end.
Okay, friend, I'm on my way.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Northeastern Fidelity and Bonding, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Alvin Summers matter. Item 1, $220, plane, train, and boat fare to Santo Tomas, Mexico. For a town trying to be a resort, Santo Tomas shouldn't be so hard to get to. The last lap was by far the worst, a creaky twice-a-week boat from Mazatlan. And I may be wrong, but it looked to me like the only outfit interested in making a resort out of Santo Tomas was the big new hotel up on a cliff overlooking the sea, the Playa del Mar. The rest of the town just didn't seem to care. It was a sleepy fishing village. A dilapidated pier, a long curving beach with the jungle crowding in on it, and a miscellaneous assortment of adobe shacks huddled here and there, sort of digging their feet into the ground. Even at a distance, the Playa del Mar looked too rich for my purpose, so I checked in at the other hotel. It was an old two-story job in town that I found after carefully detouring around a belligerent rooster scratching up a meal in the street outside. Once inside, I couldn't help feeling that the rooster was better off. It was small, dingy, and hot. I signed the beat-up ledger that passed for a register, and a little character wearing a ragged shirt with no collar, a big grin, and a baseball cap swooped down on me and grabbed my suitcase.
Right over the stairs, senor.
Okay. Are you the star of the Santo Tomas Nine or something?
Okay.
The baseball cap.
Oh, it's a first-class hotel here. I got to wear a uniform.
Oh, sure. Silly of me. Which way?
Follow me, senor. You come here to fish?
Not exactly.
My cousin has a very good boat to hire a ship.
Sorry.
Oh. Well, if you're here on just a vacation, I'll be glad to show you the scenic sights for a very small fee.
Hey, look, promoter, before you start making a career out of me, how about showing me my room?
Okay, senor. Here. It's a very nice room, no?
Oh, sure. Hey, look, can we get a little air in here?
Oh, see, I turn on the overhead fan. It's better, no?
No. There's a balcony out here?
Oh, see, with a beautiful view of the ocean, Senor Dollar.
Beautiful. The only thing I can see is the wall of that building across the alley.
Ah, but if you climb up on the railing and stand in the corner and look over the roof of the building, there in the distance you'll see the...
Beautiful. Look,
Benito, senor.
Benito, I gather that in addition to a few other assorted enterprises, you're the bellboy in this establishment.
I do everything.
I must really be a strain.
Oh, see, I'm always a straining.
Been in Santo Tomas long?
Si, senor. Too long.
Have you heard my name mentioned around town lately? Anybody asking for me?
No, senor.
Holy raffle. Oh, the door to the balcony.
It's nothing, senor. Only the fan.
Why?
Well, when the fan is on, the door, it blows shut. You're jumpy, senor.
Huh?
See, you are jumpy.
Yeah, well, I'm in a good business for it, but, yeah. Tell me, did you ever hear the name Summers?
Summers? Senor, in Santo Tomas is always Summers.
Okay. I mean a man named Summers, Alvin Summers. Here's his picture. Take a look. Ever seen him before?
Senor, in this heat, it's a strain to use the memory.
Yeah, well, you think this might make you forget the heat?
Quien sabe, Senor Dollar, it might help.
Here.
Oh, $5 American. Gracias.
Now, how about it?
Si, senor. I have seen this man.
Here in Santo Tomas?
I think so.
Where? How long ago?
I don't remember, but I'll try to find out for you.
Okay, Benito. That bill I gave you, I've got a few more just like it, if you can locate the guy in this picture, Alvin Summers. Or if you can find anybody who's asking about me.
Senor, for that kind of money, I'll not only find him, I'll bring him to you on a silver platter.
Item 2 on expense account, $5 American to Benito the bellboy. Flying blind the way I was in this deal, I figured I needed all the help I could get. And who knows, Benito just might turn something. After he left, I stretched out on the rickety bed and tried to figure out a plan of operations. I had to make myself conspicuous if I wanted the man who'd called the home office to contact me. On the other hand, if Alvin Summers himself was in the vicinity, I'd have to be pretty inconspicuous to stand a chance of getting anywhere near him. Trying to do both at the same time might not be exactly easy. Yeah?
Dollar?
Well, yeah. Who are you?
Carson's the name, E.K. Carson, and I'm sure glad I found you, friend.
Hey, you the guy who telephoned and wanted to see me?
I sure am.
Well, my luck seems to be holding up pretty well.
Not too well, I hope.
Huh?
Yes, sir, as soon as I saw you check in, I phoned a desk clerk to ask who you were. I says to him, he looks like an American to me. See, I'm in room 10 downstairs.
Wait a minute, desk clerk? I thought you meant that long-distance call.
Well, the reason I hope your luck's not too good, friend, I'm sure hoping to get you into a little cribbage game.
Cribbage?
You play, don't you?
No, I'm strictly the gin rummy type.
Oh, I could teach you, friend. Wouldn't take a jiffy.
Sorry, I thought you were somebody else.
Oh, I sure wish I could get you into a little game, friend. Gets mighty lonesome making the rounds of these small towns.
Are you in business here?
No, I'm a traveling man. Regional sales manager for Hold Tight Zippers.
Zippers? Down here?
Sure thing. All a matter of education. As I often say, business is where you find it. Why, half the world is just waiting to be zipped up. Great thought, ain't it?
Terrifying. Look, Mr. Carson, if you'll excuse me...
What about that cribbage game, friend?
Sorry, as I told
now,
you...
Now, I'll bet if you just learned to play the game, you'd find out it was a whale of a lot of fun.
I'll wait.
Well, then, why don't we have us a good talk about business?
Look, if you don't mind, I've got a few things to do around here, so...
Sure, sure, I know. To tell you the truth, I guess I'm just plain lonely. Daytimes aren't so bad when I'm out on the road, but nights I don't seem to be able to find anyone to talk to. Now that you're here...
Yeah, well, maybe we can have a drink sometime.
Say, I'd sure like that. Then maybe we can get up a little game later.
Well, maybe. I ushered E.K. Carson, the cribbage king, politely but firmly out of the door. I'd figured him for the man who wanted to talk about Alvin Summers. But all he apparently had on his mind was cribbage and zippers. I ambled on downstairs into the cantina next door. I cut my way through the smoke to the bar and looked around. A few tired-looking characters at the tables and... Over in one corner, a little fellow bent over a guitar, eyes closed, in a whirl all his own. Then I saw the girl. Three stools down the bar from me. But when I looked up again after a drink, she was only one stool away.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Santo Tomas.
Thanks.
Really something, isn't he?
Hmm?
That guitar player. I saw you watching him.
Oh.
You know, those guys give me the creeps. They start playing, and all of a sudden, they're gone. Real far away. I don't think he even knows there's anybody else in here.
Lucky man, huh?
Yeah. Funny. A cheap, run-down bar like this. Nobody listening to him. Except us.
And he's playing like he's on a cloud.
Yeah. There's a flamenco singer like that up at the hotel. At night out on the terrace when she starts those wailing songs of hers. She gives me the creeps, too.
Up at the hotel, the Playa del Mar?
Yeah.
Oh, you must be down here to see how the other half lives.
You mean to see if anybody lives in this town. I sure picked me a great spot for a vacation.
Pretty dull, huh?
Real. At least, it has been.
Oh? Say, do you know that guy over there?
The American at the corner table?
Yeah, the muscle man.
I sure don't.
You, certain?
Of course I am. Why?
Well, he's been staring at us.
Oh.
Never saw him before, huh?
Mm-mm. Of course, I've never been in here before. Maybe he's the bouncer.
He sure looks like he could qualify. Well.
Look, he's leaving.
Yeah. I guess we made him self-conscious.
I guess I'd better leave, too.
Where to,
Gloria.
Johnny.
Johnny. I think I'll go back up to the hotel and change.
Then what?
I don't know. There's a moon tonight.
Got a date?
Mm-hmm.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
When?
On the terrace. Half an hour.
She left, and I sat there a drink or two, thinking her over and wondering what her angle was. I was pretty sure she was interested in me for more than my manly charms. And it occurred to me that it might not be too unpleasant finding out what was on her mind. Especially if it could help me locate an embezzler named Alvin Summers. I went up to my room to change. When I got there, I found I had company.
Close the door.
Well, my friend from the bar downstairs.
I said close the door.
Okay. Why the gun?
Turn around. Face the wall.
Okay.
Hands against the wall.
Hey, look, what are you...
Shut up.
Well, if you're looking for my gun, it's under my left arm.
Thanks. Now turn around.
So what's this all about?
That's just what you're going to tell me. What's your name?
Johnny Dollar.
I'll bet.
Cross my heart.
We'll try again. What's your name?
I told you, Johnny Dollar.
You can think of a better one than that.
Wise up, Buster. It sounds so phony, it's got to be legitimate. And speaking of names, what's yours?
I'm asking the questions. You're answering.
Okay, we'll play it your way.
What are you doing down here, Dollar?
Look, I'll make a deal with you. You tell me why you want to know, and maybe I'll be...
Don't play games with me, Dollar. Next time you get more than the barrel of the gun.
Hey, look, I don't know what this is all about.
Okay, we'll cut out the question and answer routine. I know why you're here.
Oh?
So forget it, Dollar. Drop the whole thing and beat it.
Maybe I like it around here.
But you won't like it around here anymore, Dollar. You'll learn to hate it.
You and that gun put up a pretty convincing argument.
I'll give it to you once more, Dollar. Slow and easy so you can get it this time. Go on away. Don't ever come back. If you don't go now, you will never go.
There'll be another exciting episode in the story of the Alvin Summers Matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, a threesome on a moonlit beach. A beautiful girl, me, and a guy with a knife. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on Tuned 2 yesterday from October 24th, 1955 on CBS. We'll be following that story again along with Adventures by Morse and One Man's Family next week at the same time. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.